Margaret, we mentioned Mother Agnes Mariam very briefly. I was wondering what you could tell us about her, because you actually met her before I did, and you know Mother Agnes in her home situation, her monastery in Syria.
Yes, indeed. I've known Mother Agnes for a number of years now. Long before I even knew that she was an activist for peace and reconciliation in Syria with this civil war. I used to go to her monastery there near Qara in Syria many times on retreat and prayer. And sometimes Mother Agnes would be there, sometimes not. She was often away on ministry work and working generally for reconciliation, unity in the church, unity among different ethnic groups and different religious groups, very much something that's close to her heart. It's interesting because I've never perceived her as a particularly political person. She's a formidable person in a good sense, formidable woman. She's intelligent, eloquent, filled with the Holy Spirit, I would say, as a Christian, very wise woman, wonderful teacher, Bible teacher, that has a real heart for reconciliation with the different groups there in the Middle East, and has done a lot of work in Israel and Lebanon, as well as Syria. We would talk a lot about these things, and her monastery there, one of its themes is unity between... She's a Carmelite nun, which is a Catholic group, but the monastery also comes under Orthodox, under the Orthodox Patriarch, so that's very much her focus. And I love her dearly. I have a great deal of respect for her. I have a great deal of respect for her wisdom. But as I said, I haven't deemed her as a particularly political person in the past. So, you know, when she says this is how she perceives things are happening in Syria, I have confidence in that, because I don't believe that she takes sides for any political reason. Her heart is for peace in Syria and for reconciliation. That's her focus, through the love of God. And it's the love of God for all people there in Syria. And so I think, we need... Yeah, she as a Syrian, not Syrian born, but she's lived in Syria for many, many, many years and knows the people very well respected in the area. The town near the monastery is a Muslim village, and her and her monastery and the people there have always been very well respected in the region. So I think, she's a woman that we can trust and listen to.
You mentioned that she's been to Israel for reconciliation, mm-hmm. and yet she's got a Palestinian father, so she's got that Palestinian background. That's quite an extraordinary thing.
Yes, it is an extraordinary thing, because she's also lives in Syria. And so for a Syrian, if you know the region, if you've been to Israel, you cannot get into Syria. They will not let you in, and vice versa. Well, you can get into Israel, but they're very funny about it if you say you've been to Syria or you have friends in Syria. Having been interrogated at the border myself for that very reason, so the fact that she goes into Israel and back into Syria is extraordinary in itself. But it's because she's so well respected, and it's known in Syria the reasons why she goes into Israel is for peace and reconciliation between Jew and Palestinian. That's one of her main focuses in Israel, part of that Musalaha group there, reconciliation. Musalaha is Arabic for reconciliation, so that's her focus in Israel, and that's why she's able to go backwards and forwards between the two countries.
So you're
problems.
Both Christians. Mm-hmm. You recognise her as a Christian, as a
yes.
fellow Christian.
Yes, indeed.
What does it mean to be a Christian to you today? Because I suppose, in a sense, I was brought up as a Christian, mm-hmm. but I don't call myself a Christian now. Mm. But my upbringing, of course, is still very important to me, and I can still weep when I hear some
yes.
stories. But it seems old-fashioned to be a Christian these days. What does it mean to you?
To be a Christian, means for me, and I think for Christians in the Middle East, you see that very strongly. It is our belief in who Jesus is, who Christ is, that he is from God, the Son of God, and that he came to show us God's heart, came to show us the love of God, and certainly came to give his life for us on the cross, for we believe for the redemption of the world, and that redemption means for all people to be redeemed by the love of God. And that's what we see on the cross, is the love of God. So that's central to the Christian faith, is that God is love, and that Jesus showed us the heart of God, which is love. And we see that with, you know, Christians in Syria. One of the reasons they've been so targeted is because they refuse to be involved in military conflict. They refuse to take up arms.
Violence. Except that, they, of course, you've got Christian soldiers.
Yes, you do. They're part of the military, yes. Mm. Generally they will not take up arms in violence. And I think that's an important witness for us as Christians, is that reconciliation and forgiveness comes through love. Love for God and love for each other. And when we have that love and able to forgive, there will be reconciliation. And that's the focus of Mother Agnes too. It's difficult. We would say it's difficult to forgive when you've had members of your family murdered, and sometimes in terrible ways, children kidnapped and murdered. And so for a lot of these people to be able to do this, and they have done it, to be able to forgive and for the sake of reconciliation is a big thing. And so as a Christian in the region, I think it's important for us, and Mother Agnes is central to that, in being at the forefront of forgiveness for the sake of the love of God and reconciliation in the region between the different groups.
And Islam too, my understanding of Islam is that it is a religion of peace, and it is a religion which can support reconciliation and love for people who have committed crimes, mm-hmm. such as the murder of others in this so-called revolution.
Yes, I think you would find that a lot of the Muslim people in Syria would be the same. In the love of God and are prepared to forgive and work towards reconciliation. It's only the certain very fundamental groups that operate really from a different viewpoint. A lot of hatred, a lot of intolerance, and wanting their particular point of view to dominate and all others to be pushed out. You know, they don't want, including other Muslims who don't share their point of view. This is heartbreaking to see, because the majority of Muslim people want peace and reconciliation.
And I think their faith supports them there, doesn't it?
Yeah.
For Christians and Muslims in Syria.
Yes. Yeah, because as we were saying before, there's such a lot of respect between them, and we want that to continue, and the Syrian people want that to continue. Yeah.
It's very hard for a cynical Westerner to understand that, isn't it?
Yes. Yes, it's, you know, I often say it's very, and I know in a country like ours, where, as you say, it's sort of not fashionable to be Christian, in a country like ours, we, you know, often see having a committed faith in God as being something that's a bit strange, but in the Middle East, it's a way of life. To not believe in God would be very odd in the Middle East. To believe in God is a way of life for all people, whether you're Christian or Muslim. They're very spiritual society, and it's very easy to talk about God, and because it's central to all of our lives there. Yeah. So I would say to Australian people, you know, that's why. You know, that in the Middle East it's very different from here. Very spiritual, very religious society. Everyone believes in God in some way. Very few don't. Yeah, it's very different from here.
And it brings a wonderful community spirit too.
Yes,
it's not divisive.
Mm.
It's become divisive, of course, but it wasn't divisive. Although there's always that potential, and of course that's what people have exploited, that potential, that ugly seed that's within every heart to believe the worst of other people.
Yes, yeah.
Which we have to fight.
Yes, that's true, and we need to do that together, Christian and Muslim and other groups together, to not allow these fundamental groups to push a wedge between us and to cause, one, to push Christians out of the region that has been their home for 2,000 years, but to create constant unrest and war between the different ethnic groups. You know, that's something that we need to stand up for with active non-violence, to be active, to work towards reconciliation and peace, and to be willing to die for that but not willing to kill for it. You know, that active non-violence, which is so effective, which was the way of Jesus.
Which is what Mother Agnes stands for.
Yes, exactly.
Yep. But people say she's an sad apologist. What's your response to that? I think she's somebody that works for reconciliation.
Yes, I do too. And I think if you listen to what she's saying, you'll hear that. And I think for people to say, well, she's an sad apologist, well, there are so, you know, why don't people say, for these other groups that just blatantly assume that the Assad regime is committing all these atrocities, even though they're not accused of being apologists for the rebels.
Or for extremist
clerics. For extremists. Yes, they're not accused of being exactly apologists for Al-Qaeda. Or
for the US military industrial complex.
Why is that, you know? So I think we need to listen to it. She's saying, as someone who's working towards peace.
And reconciliation is a very tough road to follow, isn't it?
It is.
And it's a steep learning curve as well.
Yeah. It's just interesting that she's accused of being an Assad apologist, but her heart, she speaks out for reconciliation and peace, and yet someone else who's pushing for military intervention in Syria.
Or for armed revolution.
Is not accused of being an apologist for Al-Qaeda or extremist clerics, and yet they're pushing for violence. So I would, you know, just encourage people to listen to her message of peace. She's not, when she talks about what she's talking about with what's happening in Syria, she's not speaking politically, you know, as some sort of member of the party of President Bashar, but she's talking about the situation as she sees it in Syria and working towards what is going to bring reconciliation and peace there.
And she's telling the human story, isn't it?
Yes,
very much. Isn't she? So. And the human story is so complex, especially in civil strife.
Yeah.
For example, I've been reading a book about the war in France. And the human response to fear and conflict is so complicated, and there are so many possible responses. And I think Mother Agnes is open to all of that, and to try and just help whatever is in front of her, so whatever human story is in front of her, to give that her love and understanding. So it's not a political position.
No.
It is something much beyond that.
Yes, definitely. Yeah, I would support that her main focus is not political, but unity, reconciliation and love.
Thank you.
You're welcome.